Okay, turn to Isaiah 59. I mentioned it this morning and just did a verse from it, the first verse, but let's look at it more in detail and length. Isaiah 59. One thing about our world and the situation we're in is that there's not a lot of mystery to those who know the Bible about why we're in the fix we're in, that the solution is given. And the problem and the root of the problem is given. The issue is that the world does not want to know that problem, does not want to fix the problem in that way. So the problem will always remain. There's no possibility for the world to fix things in the manner that it's going about it. It'll never happen. They don't know that, even though it's right here in front of us. So we who are believers hope in God. We are optimistic. A new year to us is the Lord's blessing, the Lord doing his will, that the Lord can do whatever he wants to do. And if he does that, anything is possible. But the world has a much dimmer view of the future. And you can see it when they talk. They're so negative. They're so down. They're so gloomy. They're not able to really, other than empty promises, give us any thoughts of hope for the future. And depending, of course, on who's in power, they either want you to feel optimistic or pessimistic. But trying to fix things without the Lord is really impossible. Verse 1, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none, but for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is clear from you. Thank you for your clarity and the vividness of your revelation that our world is not the way it is because of some mysterious, unexplained phenomenon, but by departing from you. And we don't even in the world want that solution. And there it is. No one can really say in our world that they're against all the suffering and gloom and doom that we're facing if they will refuse to turn to you for help. They are continuing it. They are making it last longer. They're purposefully staying in the darkness. So Lord, I pray that as we hope in you this year as believers, we will also see what it is that we're facing in this world, that we might pray and witness and hopefully, Lord, see your Holy Spirit work wonderful transformation in the hearts and lives of many and turn a nation that is running to evil. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a old show, and we who are older remember it, called Candid Camera. Candid Camera was, you know, they'd set up a camera somewhere and they'd make a spoof of something. They would make something funny happen and see what people's reaction to it would be. And I don't remember in detail what many of those were, but there was one where a car was broken down on the side of the interstate. And they set up their cameras to watch it. And there was a pretty girl with the car. And she was standing by the car that was broken down. And these men, of course, would stop to help her. And they would want to look at the engine. And so they would, you know, open the engine, open the hood, and she was going, she didn't know what was going on because it was going fine. She was driving along just fine, and suddenly it stopped. So they say, let me look inside under the hood and see what there is. And there was no engine in the car. And that was the spoof. They parked that car on the side of the road, had no engine in it, and they wanted to see what men would do when they opened the hood, and there was no engine in the car. So it'd be pretty easy to know at that point. The mystery was, how is it going along? And who is this woman who said everything was going fine? Did the engine fall out? It was, you know, cleanly just gone. Well, what could the matter be in that? Well, there's no engine. What could the matter be in the world? What's wrong with the world? In one sense, people say this is a pretty complicated question because it has to do with the economy. It has to do with politics, has to do with different tensions and cultures in the world. But really, it's just as obvious as that car that's missing an engine. The problem with the world is that there is not a relationship with God. Oh, everything else is said. Racism, sexism, feminism, white privilege, intersectionality, climate, undistributed wealth or unredistributed wealth, President Trump, non-acceptance of transgenderism, that's our problem. Using the right pronouns, we're not using the right pronouns, that's a problem. Russia has been a problem for gosh, how long? People not wearing masks, the hindrance of illegal immigration, putting walls up, oh, that's bad. Drilling for oil is bad. Not investing in alternate energy sources, you know, sun and wind. Oh, that's evil. Freedom is looked upon suspiciously today. Socialism is being elevated as something great. It's never worked anywhere except to bring calamity. China is a problem. People not having the internet is a problem. There's no justice. Oh, there's just a whole list of things. And that's just a part list. just a partial of what people moan and groan about, that if we fixed, we'd all be better off. But in the whole list, they don't get it right one time. They're all in the branches. They're all in the effects, but not in the cause. And the backdrop of this in relation to God is people look around at the world and they say, has God just lost his power? Does God not know what's happening? Because why is all this going on? People who call upon the Lord may at times just be confused and disillusioned. And why isn't God fixing this? Has he gone off somewhere? Has he gotten tired of it? And the more of an unbeliever you are, the more you're likely to say he just doesn't hear or he's dead, and not that he's, there's another reason. But look at verse 1. And this is how the Lord starts his dealing with this question, is that the problem is not him. The Lord's hand and the Lord's ear are not impaired. Israel is being addressed here. And as you know, Israel was the covenant people of God. God reached the world through Israel. The Lord wanted to save people. He started through Israel. He spoke to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these covenants were made. Moses, on down into the kingdom. The Lord was bringing the Messiah through Israel, and the Lord was revealing his truth through Israel. Israel had all the covenant promises. Israel had the word of God. Israel had the right religion. They had shadows of the sacrifice of Christ in the temple. So Israel was the nation that God used to reach the world, so that the world would see this is what we have to do. This is who has the right God. These are the testimonies. These are the commandments. This is the law. This is what we're to follow. And always in Israel's history, the true Israel was not just the national Israel. It wasn't that you were related to Abraham, but that you were of the faith of Abraham. So true Israel has always been believing Israel. Paul mentions that in Romans. You're not truly a Jew if you're an unbeliever. The proper response to the revelation of God is that you're a believer. Obviously, by blood, you're a Jew, but not by a spiritual means. And the whole point of being getting the revelation of Israel is that they would become believers. But Israel is a picture of most of the nations, or not all of the nations of the earth right now, because, including the United States, not that we're chosen people of God as a nation, but that there is a mixture of belief and unbelief in our nation. Where the gospel has come to nations, there is a mixture of belief and unbelief. Some have rejected the gospel, some have accepted the gospel. We have revelation of the true God in this country. We can get Bibles all around. We can listen to programs about the Bible. We get teaching. We have churches. But most of it is ignored and rejected by the world. A lot of churches is ignored and rejected. And so, just like Israel, our problem is, because every person is the same, we're all made by God for a relationship with him. And if we don't have that, we all have the same problem of alienation from God. So that's our problem, alienation from God and rebellion toward God. We are not God's friends in this world. We're enemies of God because we are lovers of the world. A friendship with the world, as James said in his passage this morning, makes you an enemy of God. That's the problem. We have unplugged our cord from the wall. And we wonder now why we're not working, because we have no power. So that's what the Bible identifies here and everywhere as the problem. In every one of us, there's a powerful force of destruction and misery. We have within us a great ability to destroy. Proverbs says, in other parts as well, that when we go our own way, we wreak destruction. We wreak it on us, we wreak it on others, we wreak it on society. We have a big effect on others and on the whole world by our wickedness. And unless that is contained, unless that's restrained and brought under the command of God, there is really no limit to the havoc that we can wreak in this world. And so that's why the world is crazy. And crazier, it seems, every day. And that's the diagnosis, and that's the reason. If a doctor spiritually were to look at our world, this is the x-ray he would take, would show that there's no God in the heart, and that the symptoms are coming from that. And so his solution would be, if he's a spiritual doctor, would be that we need to put God back in your heart, and then these symptoms will go away. Instead, what happens today is people just treat the symptoms and they never really resolve them. They just learn to live with them and try to, in some way make them not as bad as they could be. But there's no policy and no law, no idea, no concept, no philosophy, no scheme, plan, or agreement that will fix human problems if God remains unrequited. If God is ignored, if God is not pleased, if God does not turn his attention to us, if God does not help us, there's nothing that can fix us. We can abide, but we can't be fixed. We're just going to have different blow-ups of the problems that we're having all the time. So the Lord can fix this. The Bible says, James also says, you have not because you ask not. Well, our world does not ask God for help. Christians do. Our world plays games with God, just whatever God. It's not the God of the Bible always. And it says, James says, you have not because you ask not, but when you do ask, he said to the ones he addressed, you don't get it because you ask it to spend it on your lust. So it's a selfish prayer to be more sinful, and that's not going to be answered. So that's why this verse starts, as I mentioned already, in verse 1, by saying that God is not the problem. God's hand has not grown short. God's ear has not grown dull. God can hear. He's just not answering when rebellious people call upon him. God's hand can work. His hand is powerful, but his hand is not being used when people are rebelling against him. And the problem is given right up front in verse 2. And you see that Isaiah says from the Lord, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, that was said to Israel, but it's absolutely 100% applicable also to the United States of America. Because in this sense of Israel, what we're talking about here with Israel, all nations are the same. God has made us to glorify him, to be his people. When we're not his people and we throw iniquity up, we separate ourselves from God. And if our world has chosen iniquity, sinfulness, well, then that relationship that we need to be solid in order for us to be healthy has been broken. And it's not just on our part. We've done our part by being sinful. The Lord has done his reaction to that by hiding his face from us so that he does not hear. So it's not that he can't hear, it's that he won't hear. we often think in our society that all God is doing every day is just leaning his ear toward us and just waiting for someone to call for help. Well, the Lord certainly would answer if help was called for, but he doesn't occupy his day that way. He is hearing people, but he is not rewarding that with an answered prayer when all that people want is to be able to live in their sin and not be freed from their sin. Most people, when they pray, they're not looking to be out of their sin. They're looking to stay in it. When people pray about a lot of the popular sins of today that have been brought out of the closet, they're not praying that God would get them out of it. They're praying that others would accept it. They're not wanting to repent of it. They're wanting others to repent of not affirming them in it. So it's all mixed up. Iniquity is the problem. And sinners don't want to be saved. They want to be, you know, pampered in their sin. And that's not repentance. And as long as that remains, that fundamental separation between God and man, well, there's not going to be healing. I mentioned common grace this morning. God may patiently and with long suffering and mercy have our land not reap the full benefits or the consequences of our sinfulness. He may turn us again in a revival. We hope so. But he is not inclined toward us as we mount all this iniquity. It seems like every day in this country, people are upset if they can't find something else bad to do, some other iniquity to promote. As it says, we run to evil. And that is the problem. Now, our text in verse 3 then goes on and says, "For your hands are defiled with blood." Well, that's killing. "And your fingers with iniquity." Well, what's the biggest health problem we've got in this world? It's not COVID. 1.8 million people, we're told, died from COVID last year worldwide. However many actually did, you know, they're counting motorcycle accidents. If you fall off a ladder, it's COVID, so who knows? But even at their levels, 1.8 million. You know, the biggest cause, the biggest problem, the biggest death blow that we have in this world is from sin. 42.7 million abortions in the world last year. 42.7 million babies were killed in the womb. And we're concerned about wearing a mask and keeping COVID out. And that goes on. As long as that goes on, all moral authority has been abandoned. The world cannot take the high road for anything until that stops. There were other things even that were higher than COVID. There were like, I think COVID's in fourth or fifth place or sixth. So the problem then is that when you're alienated from God, that inner beast gets out. And you can't kill babies unless you're alienated from God. You can't cut babies up in the womb unless you're alienated from God. Nobody can do that who is with God. And so if 42.7 million worldwide are being killed, that just shows you where we are with God as a whole world. Are people then, because of that, ready to stop abortion? Of course not. They want to do more of them. They want to make sure that more rights are guaranteed for a woman at any stage of her pregnancy to kill a baby. That is one of the biggest pushes that we have in society. 42.7, let's make it 45 million next year or this year. That's what their thoughts are, not to stop it, but to promote it more. It says also then in verse 3, "Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness." No one, verse 4, sues righteously. No one pleads honestly. "They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Well, so that says that the talk is wicked. The lips speak falsehood, and no one is honest. people's speaking is in iniquity. Does anyone believe that the election was fully honest? I think the last I heard, there were over 40,000 people who were dead that voted. There was that big thing in Pennsylvania, Michigan that people are talking about now that's coming to a head, I guess, on Wednesday. There's a lot of deception in that. Social media promotes lying and gossip. If you say the truth on some social media platforms, they will censor that. But if you put a lie out, they'll promote that. The media, totally corrupt. You can't believe anything the media says anymore. CNN, MSNBC, even Fox has gone bad. Lying is part of the media's way. You can't believe it. I mean, it's been that way for a while, I guess, but it's out in the open more than ever. So is there a move to clean up social media? Is there a move for the news to get things right and to be straight and accurate? Well, of course not. There's nothing. If anything, they want it to be more corrupt and more divisive because they're shutting out the voices of the people who speak the truth. Someone came out months ago saying how they were successful, a doctor, in curing the coronavirus. Well, that was censored. Well, why would we want to know how to cure the coronavirus, these media and social media giants said? This is what's mentioned in verses 3 and 4. Verses 5 and 6, Isaiah 59, they hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. That means they create poisonous snakes. And they make a web to snare you. They don't try to keep you out of the web. They don't try to keep you safe from poison. They make it. It says, he who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. They cause destruction. They purposefully make people die. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. So their efforts will not clothe them. It means that their efforts will not provide for them what they need. It just provides death. So are they trying to stop that? Are they trying to make things better? Now, if the Bible says, you know, you're making things worse, you're making trouble where none existed before, are they trying to fix that? Well, verse 7 says absolutely not. Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, devastation, and destruction in their highways. They're intent on doing it. They run to it. They're eager to do it. They want more people dead. They wouldn't say that. That's their practice. Sometimes people say it. I told you about the Hollywood actress. She regretted she'd never had an abortion. It was a goal she regretted never having achieved, that she didn't get to kill a baby in her lifetime. Their feet run to evil. They're not shunning it. They're promoting it. They want more of it. The more of evil there is, the more they feel like they don't have to be intimidated by thoughts of righteousness. Everybody's like them. If they're iniquitous, then everybody's iniquitous. Well, we have no pressure from others of righteousness. And they don't want that. They don't want a believer to, you know, convict them of guilt and sin. So they are running to evil. And this is a day also, you don't get peace. People go to psychologists all the time. They want some kind of peace in their hearts. People want peace while they're doing things that cause a lack of peace. The world wants peace, and they're in a wild party. And you can't have it. Verse 8 says, They do not know the way of peace. So they don't even, they don't experience it. And why is that? Well, remember, we're following a thread here. Because of iniquity, violence. They're rebelling against God. They're at war with God. They're at war with others who are not wanting to go as evil as them. And so no wonder they don't have peace. The Bible says, we talk about a new year, have a new year, a peaceful new year. The Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. Isaiah says, we talk of justice. Oh boy, does the world want justice? The world wants justice. They want justice in things that are not even unjust. Somebody says something cross with someone. Oh, where's the justice? Policemen are having a terrible time. They can't shoot, but certain kinds of people, everybody's calls for justice and calls them racist by trying to enforce the law. Look at what we're told in verse 8. There is no justice in their tracks. Whose tracks? The wicked. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. Every effort they make to make anything better, they lie about, they mischaracterize, and they ruin lives, and they call for justice, but they don't want it. They don't want true justice. They want a social justice. They want, you know, some payback, some revenge, something for their benefit. And because of that, they don't get justice. They have no justice. And those who cry loudest for it want it the least. So verse 10 says, we grope. We grope along the wall like blind men. Could there be a better description for the way our world is than that? We grope along the wall like blind. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we are. We don't know how to get where we want to be. We grope like those who have no eyes. And remember, this is all while they say they're really smart. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we're like dead men. We should be able to see in the middle of the day, but we can't. We're still stumbling like we're in the dark. All the revelation of God right over their heads. And they don't get it. So they grope. Whenever you're groping something you do in the dark. You're looking for something in the dark, maybe a flashlight. You turn the flashlight on, you'll be able to see. They're groping in the middle of the day. In darkness because they've rejected the light. They want to be in the light, they say. They want really that the world that they live in and that they're creating an iniquity, they want that to be light when it can't be because it violates the law of God. So it's a futility. Verse 11 then says all of us growl like bears. And moan sadly like doves. That's a mourning, moanful, a growling that is because of a lack of sustenance, a moaning of sadness. Why? Why would we be sad? I've not been able to walk for a while. I told you I walked the other day. And normally when I walk, I just walk. I get back and next day everything's fine. And next day after that, everything's fine. Let me tell you, after not walking in a while for whatever reason, holidays, rain, cold, my legs have reminded me since that day that I walked. I'm moving slower. There's a mysterious pain in my legs from walking. And so you might say, well, how do you explain that pain? Well, I explain it by walking, my normal walk, when I've not been walking for a few weeks. So I have that. Well, why is it that the world is sorrowful? Why is it that the world moans? Why is it that people are in such agony in their spirit? Well, it's because of iniquity. And the false belief is that God is going to help us be sinful and to take away the effects of sin rather than make us repent. You know, when AIDS was first discovered as an effect of homosexuality, there was no mention at all of curbing homosexuality. There was only a mention of how to stop AIDS. I'm all for stopping AIDS and whatever else is bad, but it's just curious that you did that was not promoted. You know, if they find out that going to church might spread the coronavirus, well, they want to stop church today. When they find out that AIDS is a result of homosexual sexual activity, oh, they want to stop the virus, the AIDS virus. So we don't stop. Verse 12 says, our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Our iniquities identify us. We're known by the excesses of our behavior. Used to be some cities were known, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah, were known for their wickedness. Now it is just spread throughout the world that there's a widespread transgression that multiplies. And that's, you know what that's called? That's called enlightenment. That's called progressiveness. That's called, breaking out of your shell. That's called freedom to these people. And it's just, it's bondage and destruction. Verse 13 says, then, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Well, what did we see all summer? What do we see constantly in this world? Especially from the left, almost solely from the left, we see this destructive rioting, burning the cities down, beating on other people who don't agree with you. We've seen that for months and months and months. We've seen cities in our land where the mayors will not even intervene because they agree with the protesters. And so rioting takes place. Revolt, that's rioting. Oppression, that's what happens with rioting. You oppress people who don't agree with you. You're violent against them. You ship people in from other places, Antifa and such. And they don't turn toward God. They turn away from God. They continue to transgress and deny the Lord. And so they stir up trouble. The last thing our world wants really is to get away from trouble. They want to use trouble to get their way and to oppress. And remember, the Lord is the avenger of such. The Lord is not pleased when these things occur. So we're told justice, verse 14, is turned back. Everything's called racist now. You know, there is racism. It can go either way, but there is racism. There's true racism. There are people who are discriminated against because of their race. And that's certainly all in the world in different ways. But they've called so many things racist now that it's meaningless. White Christmas. Racist. I guess snow being white is racist. A coconut cake with white frosting, racist. So you don't have it's every justice is turned back. God's laws are derided. Identity politics. People are always talking about not people, but what they are, transgender or a white person or a black person or whatever. People are shunned today for using the wrong pronoun. When did we learn to use pronouns, he and she and it? When was that? Like first grade, second grade? This is a result of iniquity. It is not anything to do with God's inability or a lack of power. It's just complete wickedness on our part. And verse 15 says, or verse 14, justice is turned back, righteousness stands far away, for truth is stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. See what that says? That today, if you turn yourself aside from evil, you become prey. By turning yourself aside from evil, people attack you. We see that all the time. A person comes out and says they don't believe in 50 genders or 100 genders. And even on the left, when they say that, well, what happens? Twitter heats up and they just slander that person to pieces. If they're not strong, they'll back out of it and be cowardly about it. If you do what's right, you become a victim. You become a target. You become assaulted when you should be praised when you do what is right. Why do they do that? Well, because they don't have the Lord. They're not a friend of God. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about justice. They only care about their way. And it says it was displeasing in his sight. There was no justice. You know what the world cares the least about? Is whether or not God is pleased. They care absolutely nothing about that. Is God pleased? Do you think they asked themselves before the riots, is God pleased with this? Do you think they asked before abortions, is God pleased with this? Before all the lying they do, is God pleased with this? They don't care. But it says in verse 15, now the Lord saw. Now remember the first of the text, it was like God can't see, God can't hear, God can't do, but God can. God hears, God sees, God does, and it's displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. Now, as the text goes on, and I stop there, like verse 16, he saw there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. And that's kind of, again, today, we got a lot of cowards. You would think a lot of people would be standing up against this, but they're not. They're afraid. They want to blend in. They don't want to stand on principle or on truth. And so everybody becomes tainted who is a coward. And this makes more sense now. We see in Revelation where cowards do not go to heaven. You got to stand firmly for righteousness. That's one effect and one sign of you being a child of God. But so he's looking for a man and he ends up providing his own man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's not going to allow society to rebel outside of the bounds that he sets for them. And he's going to save people with his man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord's work. So there's nothing in this world that really the world can be Happy New Year about if they're going to persist in iniquity. Our job as a church is to maintain to the world courageously, firmly, a commitment to God and to his word. We're not going to help the world by being like the world. If a person's drowning, you're not going to help them necessarily, unless you're a good swimmer and strong swimmer, to jump in with them. The preferred method is to throw them a life saver from the boat, drag them in, or pluck them out of the water from a helicopter or something. if you're in an icy river, you don't want to go in to save. You'll end up with two victims then. The Lord is working still in our land. If it wasn't, we'd be done by now. If the Lord wasn't saving still, we'd be gone. The hope we have for a happy new year is the Lord's will, as I said this morning, and God's work. The world needs to wake up. And that's what happens when people get saved. They wake up. And the world needs to wake up that nothing is going to improve until iniquity is abandoned and the relationship with God is repaired. And repentance replaces this commitment to run to evil and be more wicked tomorrow than we were today. Let's pray. Lord, just the amount of sin you see in the world every day is astounding. Well, we see a lot of it because it's reported. If we pay attention and we see it in our own lives, we see it from people we know, people we come in contact with, any news we get. But Lord, what you see is just all of it. And yet, Lord, you're very patient. And Lord, since you're patient, I pray that this year would be a year that is not intended by the devil. That this will be a year of salvation. This will be a year of revival. This will be a year when Christians get more serious about their commitment. That churchgoers actually become Christians if they're only churchgoers. Or that you would defeat the oppressive intent of the devil to hurt and to wound and to kill. And that iniquity would be reversed rather than increased. We ask an impossible thing, Lord, for us, but not for you. For with you, Lord, this is a very possible outcome. We pray for it. In Jesus' name, amen.